Good morning. Welcome to the program. Good afternoon. I mean, good night. Hi. It's me. Okay, here's a warning. If there are little children in the room that understand English, have them leave the room now, because this is some profane language that will occur right now at the top of the show, and I don't want people who are offended by lewd and disgusting people to be hearing this kind of language, because the language, indeed, comes from the President of the United States.
Moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
That's huge news, Sarah.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was marriages, and I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took her out furniture. I moved on her like a bitch. But I couldn't get there, and she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look. I better use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
Pull the hell.
Hello, how are you?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I know somebody that likes that sort of thing.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Oh, God.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am whom the young lady said I was. That was my voice. It is my voice. Of course, Donald Trump recently saying that that conversation that you just heard at the top of the show, that disgusting conversation, that womanizing conversation, came from the now President of the United States, claiming that that was not his voice. Well, Billy Bush is making the rounds now. He's the voice of the other person on the bus with Access Hollywood. And he's walking around saying, the president says that that may not be his voice on the tape there. I was there. That's his voice. That even to make that assumption means that he hides the truth. He lies. He hides the truth. This is the President of the United States. And I don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat. This is sucky, sucky people stuff. Oh, man, how did we get here? Hopefully it wasn't because of you. 31% of Republicans right now, 31% of Republicans from a survey say, this is like Family Feud, and the survey says, 31% say they wish that there was a different Republican in the White House. 31%. That's all? That's all? Now, this is of Republicans, by the way. 31% of Republicans say they wish there was somebody else in the White House except for Trump. Some other Republican, I should say. I don't know what you want to do with that information, but that's what the survey said. Who took the survey? A guy named Bob. I really don't know who. I don't even care. I don't even like surveys because they apparently don't always work very well. Anyway, I'm floored. I'm so sick of these people. Oh, stop it. You've heard me say that before. And here's the rub, ladies and gentlemen. The way that you heard that Trump guy talk on that Access Hollywood bus tape, that's actually the way most men speak, and a lot of women as well. That's what happens behind closed doors. That's a great, boy, I wish I had that song right now, Behind Closed Doors. Half of my audience has no idea what that song is. And that's okay. We come from different planets. Different times and different planets, I should say. Here's the problem, is that behind closed doors, that's the way people still actually think. Men still talk about getting into women's pants. That seems to be their bonding conversation. That's how men bond. Hey, I hate your guts, but did you see that woman over there? Boy, would I like to get in her pants. Me too, my God. Now we're bonding, aren't we? Yes, we are. Nixon, for example. Why do I bring his name up? Well, no connection whatsoever, obviously. Nixon was a foul-mouthed, filthy thing. We heard the Nixon tapes. Well, you didn't. Again, you're too young. You don't know what the hell I'm talking about. White House conversations in the Oval Office were actually taped at a point, and they were used against Nixon, and he became impeached for many, many different reasons. But on those tapes, you hear a foul-mouthed, disgusting, sexist human being named Richard Nixon. It is not odd for men to do that when they don't think they're being recorded. Trump didn't think he was being recorded. That was the real Trump. I can't really blame him for what he said on the bus, because that's the way men talk. Not every man, not me. I don't do that. I swear I don't do that. And all the men that I talk to don't talk like that. When we're in conversation behind closed doors or in private, we don't talk about touching women. We do not. There's no point. That just doesn't make sense to me. We talk about other things, but not that. Nothing like that. No groping, no grabbing, P-U-S-S-Y. And I'm talking about what cat lovers do. All right, never mind. It's just disgusting. Oh, stop it. You know what I mean. On the other hand, if you listen to that bus tape, Trump is not naming any particular women. As a matter of fact, he could have even, and I hate to say this, I hate to take his side, but he could have even been just ramping up his game because Billy Bush, the guy on the bus with him, was egging him on to some extent. I would even give Trump a pass, so to speak, because he was being egged on, and I don't know whether Trump actually does that stuff or not. But then I got to know Trump through the media and his little tweets, and there's no question that, yeah, he believes what he said, that he is a man of power. He's an entertainer. He don't entertain me. He never entertained me. By the way, when he was doing the show The Apprentice, he thinks he became a celebrity star. He doesn't act. He doesn't act at all. He sits behind a desk and just he's himself. He's the controlling, serious, you're fired bastard that he is sitting behind a desk. It was a quote unquote reality show that wasn't really reality. I mean, it was manipulated incredibly. But that was he's not an actor. He's not a celebrity. He's not a star. What are you talking about? Reagan, that president, he cursed too. There's some pretty heavy cursing behind the scenes from Reagan. I don't think he talked about putting his hands in ladies' Steintons. But he was a dirty talking guy too. Reagan was an actor. He was in movies. He was a horrible actor. Horrible actor. But he was in movies. I give him that. That guy was in show business. Trump? That's show business. That's show business. Sat behind a desk and fired people. Or he produced, the beauty pageants. It's time for women to come forward if they feel that they were abused by Trump, if they were shoved to the side by Trump, if they were used as sexual objects by Trump. It's time to come up and say that stuff, because this is the time to do it. And for Donald Trump to stand there, not even as president, but just as a man, to stand there and say, I find it disgusting when men make sexual moves toward women, unwanted moves. I find that to be disgusting, such as Senator Al Franken and others who have been shown that they are aggressive toward women when the women do not want the aggression. Who's talking here? Donald Trump. I mean, it's if I read this shit in a book, I would say this is unbelievable. I can't even read this book. It is just so stupid and inane. It just couldn't happen. It doesn't happen like that. People like that do not become president. This is a ridiculous piece of fiction written by a 2-year-old. And then you find out that's not fiction. That's true.
Moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
That's huge news, Sarah.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was marriages. And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took her out furniture. I moved on her like a bitch. But I couldn't get there. And she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look. I better use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
Pull the hell.
Hello, how are you?
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something like cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Welcome back to the program. Hi, this is the Ron Van Dam Show. In case you don't know what you're listening to, that's what it is. Oh, man. So depressing. It's just all so depressing. We have a great guest coming up toward the end of the show. We'll talk to that person, and that will be wonderful and fine. Well, I am so damn pleased to be here. I can't tell you. Thank you for inviting me. This is like an invitation into your head. It is. That's what it is to me. When you listen to this show, you've invited me into your head. And that's considerable, man. That's, you know, that says something, and I appreciate it. You don't think that I just do this and I sit here and make money on because of you. No, it's not like that at all, as far as you're concerned. I've accepted an invitation into your brain. This is immense. This is huge. This is of consequence. You're really opening up to me. I think sometime we should sit down and have a conversation about the universe and the expansion of our minds into the depths of the cosmos. I think we've reached that level. To me, that's how you reach various levels of relationship. There's the first level where you talk about absolutely nothing whatsoever, basically the weather. Cold outside, isn't it? Yes, it is cold outside. You think it'll get colder? Probably. Is it going to rain tomorrow, do you know? I think it will rain. Do you know about what time? Oh, about noon? Getting cold out, though, isn't it? You bet. That's level one of the relationship. Level two is the inquiry process. That's where questions are posed and short answers result. Hey, where do you work? Oh, down the street. What do you do? Oh, I have a hardware store. Well, I work in the hardware store. I don't really have it. What do you sell? Well, hardware, basically hammers and nails and things like that. Business good? Yeah, it's going pretty well. People want to buy hammers and nails a lot. And they build things and they put things on the wall and stuff like that. You put things on the wall too? I try not to. Puts holes in the walls. We sell spackle though. Spackle, that's interesting. Yes, it is interesting. What do you do? Oh, me? I'm retired. What's that like? I wake up, I eat some food, I go to bed. You like that? Yeah. Ever buy hardware? No need to do that. I'm retired. You're retired, you don't need hardware? No, not really. What's your favorite TV show? Oh, I like a lot of them. You? Oh, not much, really. I don't watch much TV. Really? That's level two of a relationship. See, now we're getting intense. Level three is when you start asking questions about how they feel about things. This is getting pretty heavy now. Hey, you interested in politics? Nah, I try not to be. What do you think of things going on these days? I'm not real happy. How about you? Not real happy either. Could be better. I don't really believe in what's going on. Do you? I don't really. No, I don't. How about you? No, me neither. Okay. And then we get into the... So now we're inquiring about how we feel about things. Then we get into discussion about the cosmos. And that is the tightest of relationships ever. Let's go something like this. Do you believe that there is life on other planets? I do. I can't see how there couldn't be. Do you believe that there is life on other planets? Yeah, I do. I think that there probably is. It's impossible to actually imagine what could be happening on other planets if there are other planets. Oh, there are other planets. Well, I know that, but I mean in other universes. The mind just can't conceive. Do you know if you see a star that you're looking at something that happened millions of years ago? I know, that's very difficult to figure out. And that how one could travel through space. Yes, and the time continuum. Yeah, I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing, the time continuum, and that there could be life on other parts of the Zodiac.
The Zodiac?
Well, you know what I'm talking about. You know, I think we should be friends forever because we're talking about the universe and the cosmos.
You're right. There's nothing else to talk about.
You're right.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's relationships, and I use that as a guide. But I don't do the small talk. I go right to the cosmos. Hi, I'm Ron. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Ron?
The cosmos. Let's talk about that.
What the hell are you talking about? Something wrong with you?
Yes, there is.
We could play all the cool, exciting bumper music we want, and it won't change the fact that you're listening to a grumpy old man with a bug up his ass about just about everything. It's Ron Van Dam on New England Broadcasting. This kind of music gives him a screaming headache. That's why we play it.
Thank you.
Do you like coconut water? Do you ever hear coconut water? I guess inside coconut, there's coconut milk, the milk of the coconut. And you drink it, and it's supposed to make you feel good. It has a lot of antioxidants. Now, I'm not a doctor. I know you thought I was, but I am not. It's just like you thought Dr. Phil was a doctor. I guess at one point he may have been. I'm not too clear. But I'm not a doctor at all. I don't even play one on TV. I never played the role of a doctor before. I wanted to. There was a girl who lived next door. I wanted to play doctor and nurse with her. I was only like 6-7 years old, and she was around the same age, so there was nothing freaky about it. And we wanted to play doctor. Actually, I man, Ron, be very, very careful here, Ron. We used to play doctor, and I was the doctor, and she was the nurse. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened of a sexual context. But perhaps in my mind, stuff was going on. Anyway, never played a doctor on TV. But I'm starting to drink coconut milk, the fruit of my loins. And I don't know if coconut milk is a cure-all to anything. Like if you drink coconut milk, all of a sudden you can leap tall buildings with a single bound. I don't think that's possible. I don't think you have x-ray vision. By the way, if I had x-ray vision, what would be the point? I can hardly see with glasses on, much less see through people's clothing. What would I want to do that for? That would be kind of odd and awkward. People wouldn't want to be around me. He's looking at me. I don't know if he's looking at me or whether he's just permeated my underpants. I have no idea what he's doing here with those eyes. I wouldn't want x-ray vision. My God, no one would talk to me ever again, even more so. So what's happened is I started drinking coconut water. I was watching an episode of Shark Tank on television. I don't know if you watch that show. It somewhat stimulates me. It makes me feel like there's a possibility that I could make money someday if I got up off my ass, which I never do, so I will never make that kind of money, but it's fascinating to watch and make believe that if I wanted to, maybe I could. And that's kind of all I need. And there's this guy, he hollowed out a coconut shell, made it square so it'll sit on a table, and he filled it with coconut water, which is different than coconut milk, but it's still got the coconut in it. And he was saying to the sharks how wonderful this water is, and the sharks would say, are you a doctor? Can you say that the coconut water has any kind of medicinal properties? And he says, no, I can't do that, I can't do that. But they said, oh, this is wonderful coconut water. So the next day, because I am totally motivated not to start my own business, but to go out and buy coconut water, I go to the supermarket and I look at the shelves, and there's coconut water. A lot of it's got a lot of sugar, like 22 grams of sugar in the coconut water. I'm trying to stay away from sugar because I think it's evil. I think it's pure evil. I think it's the Antichrist. But I see this bottle of coconut water, and it's called Bai, B-A-I. You've probably heard of this stuff. It has flavored water, this company. And I love the title of it, Bai. It's B-A-I. I don't know what that means in any kind of language, but in the back of my mind, there's a little guy saying, buy it, buy, buy, buy it, buy. So I buy it, and I go home, and I open it up, and I drink this coconut water, and it has a very strange effect on me. It's a little bit tasty. It's only got 5 calories, but it's got chemicals in it because there's not a lot of sugar, so they replace it with chemicals. You choose your method of death, basically. Either it's going to be by chemicals, or it's going to be by sugar. Most people say sugar. I say, I'll go with the chemicals. It's just a life choice. So I drink this coconut water, and the end result is, oh my God, I'm not hungry. I don't want to eat any food ever again. I'm totally not hungry. The coconut water was very tasty, very nice, thank you very much, but it's just taken away my appetite completely. And I said to myself, my God, in a week, if I keep drinking this coconut water, I will be down to the weight that I want to be at. my original birth weight of 5 pounds, 7 ounces. I think I was more than that, but I'm not sure. I don't have the papers with me. So I'm drinking a coconut water every day. I have very little appetite. I almost have to force myself to eat, and I gain weight, and I can't figure this out. Wait a minute. I'm not eating food. I'm drinking coconut water, and I'm gaining weight. What is this about? And I look in the mirror, and my stomach is bloated. Bloated to the point where I am basically made of coconut water. So... And I guess coconut water is heavier than regular water. I really don't know, but I'm in a bloat stage. So the coconut water bloats me. So now I look like a floating parade balloon. I haven't lost any weight. I'm not eating food. And I'm not feeling too good. So another great idea for me, down the tubes. Ain't going to happen. No more coconut water. This, listen to this chair. Can you hear that? This is my chair. Oh, my God. I've got to oil this thing. Oh, my. Can you hear that? Oh, you heard that, didn't you? It's time to talk to our guest, because all I'm doing is just playing with my chair, apparently. We're going to talk to our guest right now and find out what's going on. Here we go with the guest. Here we go with the guest. Hello, Rebecca. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much. Rebecca is vice president of everything, pretty much. It has to do with Medicare enrollment. I've painted you a very broad picture here.
You certainly have. Set a very high bar for me here.
As most of us should know, that there's a deadline looming over the heads of seniors, perhaps. And that has to do with the Medicare open enrollment, which unfortunately is just a small period of time. But this is a reminder to do something if you wish to. Do seniors realize that even though they may be signed up for a certain Medicare supplement program, that they can actually change if they want to?
They may not actually be aware, and we find that very few change their plan. So it might be that they're satisfied with what they have, which is terrific, and it might be that they just don't know that they have an opportunity to shop around and make a change.
Yeah. It might also be that shopping around for something you don't understand to begin with is probably a little more stressful than not, but I think you're here to say it doesn't have to be that stressful.
It doesn't, but you're right, because many seniors have a choice of 30 or more plans in their area. And I know I would find that overwhelming when my own employer gives me more than three. It's kind of hard to compare them, right?
It's very hard. And you can also change even if you're retired, I guess you can still change, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be through an employer, right?
Oh, that's correct, right.
Yeah.
Yes, so every year Medicare beneficiaries can choose.
Yeah, okay. See, here's the problem, is which I know you're addressing here, is that seniors at a point in their life say, okay, now I can relax and just, you know, retire and or whatever, and I don't have to worry about this anymore. And then every year it's like, well, now you got to look at this again. And I mean, most seniors don't even really have complicated cell phones or internet prowess. So it gets a little confusing for them, and it kind of scares them, I believe.
I agree. So we think this is actually a great time of year for sons and daughters, nieces and nephews, to take some time with the seniors and their family during this holiday period.
Correct.
And kind of make sure that they are thinking this through carefully and trying to answer any questions as they go through the final days of research.
Yeah, I consider Thanksgiving not to be necessarily a holiday gathering, but a family meeting. I mean, seriously, because there aren't many times of the year when the entire family's together, and this is a time to discuss matters like this in a very nice, open, turkey way.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So what if I need help, and I don't know exactly what to do, and I don't know exactly where to go, and I need someone to help me put this all together?
I think the first step is to get educated, and we have a website called roadmapformedicare.com.
Okay.
It's really meant to be educational, to help you understand things like premium, deductible, and copay, mm-hmm. and how those really play into the overall benefit. Once you've got yourself educated around the terms and the construct of the benefit, mm-hmm. then you can go to a website like Medicare.gov, and they have a plan finder where you could put in your zip code and you put in all of your medications, and it will come up with the plans that are available in your area.
Oh.
That will allow you to look at the total cost,
oh.
not just the premium, but what the drugs will cost you, what the deductible might
oh.
be. So you can get a sense of what your annual cost will be.
Now you're talking. That sounds very cool. Because plans do change on an annual basis. I know a lot of people get notifications in the mail from their provider that says, we're making these changes this year, and you don't kind of know what they're talking about, but you're thinking, uh-oh, something's going to change here.
That's a critical document, actually, and mm-hmm. I would bet that a lot of people think it's junk mail
yeah.
or too complicated to
yeah.
read, but it does outline all of the things that are changing for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this is so important to get the research conducted, because while you may be happy with your plan this year,
yeah.
you may not realize that some of the copays will go up for next year.
Please.
And maybe you can get a better deal
yeah.
with another plan.
All the plans don't kind of work in cahoots. They really are that different sometimes.
That's been one of the successes with Medicare, is that it's a truly competitive market. And so the plans actually compete for all of the Medicare beneficiaries.
Gotcha. All right. Where do I get this information?
So let's start at roadmapformedicare.com.
Yep.
Which is where individuals can get themselves educated before they go to Medicare.gov.
Uh-huh.
And if they are interested in talking with a Medicare advisor,
uh-huh.
Express Scripts offers these Medicare advisors, and they can be reached at 866-544-3794.
Perfect.
And you can always call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for your patronage. I wish I could send each and every one of you a thank you card, but I can't, so I won't. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Go now. Go do something else. You know, now the new rage is beet juice. They actually sell beet juice for medicinal properties. But that too has like tons of sugar in it. You know, everything that's healthy for me, like, they're trying to kill me. Big finish, here we go.